80s between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome in to a Thursday. It's Thursday, Thursday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904. Take phone calls here the first 30 minutes. Jack Crow will join us at the bottom of the hour. No JC today. He texted me late last night. He was real sick, so he couldn't be on today. But Jack Crow obviously is better than a backup, so we'll have him on at 7:30. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, we can take your phone calls, hear some sound from all the coaches that have talked this week, even maybe squeeze a little Nate Oates in if you guys would like to hear that. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. If you want to email us, do that at wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. Somebody was asking about the Alabama game tonight. Is it on TV? They say it's on YouTube. Not quite sure. I guess if you just go to YouTube, you could put in Alabama, Florida State. I'm sure that would pop up. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the five-star backyard, then your only choice is Yellowwood. Go to yellowwood.com and find the dealer that is closest to you. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. Good morning, Chase. How are you? Good morning. Good morning, Dad. How you guys doing?
Doing okay. Tennessee-Alabama game has been one in stretches over the years that I've been. And I'm a lot older. Listeners. You know, 4 or 5 wins in a row by one team. I don't think Tennessee has won at Alabama since 2003. I think that's correct. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. All the past doesn't really matter. Today, it's Saturday that it counts. I think the big factor there is how much Jim plays. The possession of the football, I think, is very, very important for Alabama. To keep the football minute-wise more than Tennessee, and to be darn sure that not so much that you're throwing the long pass to beat Tennessee quickly, but you throw the pass, the easy passes, and combine that with a good running game to have the best chance to win that particular game. I think that's going to be a real key there. So, the offensive and defensive line have got to do their part. Tennessee did not play very well defensively, but Arkansas did a pretty good job of spreading the field on them. For Auburn, if you're an Auburn fan, I think you might be best to change quarterbacks. I don't know if they'll do that. They hadn't said they would or try to get the quarterback that Auburn has do a little bit better job of playing. So those are two factors in the two games that we think about. I think Alabama, Barry, correct me, I'm sure, but I think Alabama's an 8-point favorite somewhere in there. And one of the things that I saw, I think Auburn's moved to 1.5-point favorite in those particular games. So should be interesting. We welcome your calls to talk about what you feel, other things. The Dodgers are up 2-0. If you're still keeping up with baseball, heading for the World Series or trying to be so, do so. And we'll see what happens there. And basketball, I don't know who they selected or even if they select who's going to be the best teams in the SEC. I can name them off to you. The best teams will be Florida, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee. Be somebody that I have not mentioned that will be better than I think. Auburn will be a little bit different, and it didn't get – they lost a lot of players, and they have a new coach, so we'll see what happens there. Backcourt is Alabama's – their strength inside is not their strength, but they're going to have a very good backcourt. So those are things that I think about, starting off with the football part of it because it's football season. But we offer Barry and I will try to give thoughts that we have about this Tennessee game because it's a big one.
All right, Michael Southern, thank you. With Bama history, Tide Hoops history, just sent me a tweet, and I retweeted it. So go to my Twitter account or X account at Barry Sanderson, and it's got the link to the YouTube where you can watch the game tonight. So there you go. So if you want to watch the game, just go there. You can pull it right off the YouTube right there on the Twitter account. So I think Auburn last night lost in overtime to Oklahoma State. Auburn, just for what's going on, they don't need to have a bad basketball season, right? They need to everybody's up in arms over there right now, and basketball's been a saving grace for them. So I'm not sure how good Oklahoma State is, and I wouldn't read a ton in the exhibition, but 97-95, I think, or 95-93 last night. Up at Bowling.
You know, Barry, I'm not going to talk about numbers, but I was around some Auburn people, as you know. It's really hard for me to understand. Your former head coach Bruce Pearl is going to go into radio or TV, or not radio, but TV or something. His guarantee was very, very good guarantee. Terrific guarantee, and he's 88 and out the gate on his own accord. But kind of interesting change for me to see that.
Yeah, real quick, the lines this weekend, let's see if they've moved at all. You surprise this line as hell. Vanderbilt still early kick, ABC is still 2.5-point favorite over LSU. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it does. It does surprise me. I'm not sure it's going to happen. I know that LSU is better defensively, not as good offensively, but better defensively. Vanderbilt and LSU is a team that's going to have to do a good job with the option. If you haven't seen the option that much, most of the time your quarterbacks take the ball from the center and either throw it or hand it off to somebody. But they better be ready for the option because the band goes pretty good in that.
South Carolina, that's also 11:45, be 12:45. Columbia, that's where Alabama will be next week. They'll play at 3:30 over there, 2:30 our time. Oklahoma coming off a loss. They didn't look very good, only scored 6 points. Oklahoma, though, is a 5.5-point favorite in Columbia. That surprised you?
Yeah, certainly does. And I don't know if that will happen. I've got to come up the blue plate tomorrow, and I'm looking at all these things. They haven't been very good, so that does surprise me to see Oklahoma, who's struggling a little bit. Very, very good defensively. They're gonna keep South Carolina from scoring many, but I think South Carolina can score at home because the crowd gets them into it. And starting to have a good quarterback, so that does surprise me a little bit.
Real quick, Arkansas is at home. We got A&M coming. A&M did this last year. They're 6-0. A&M 7.5-point favorite. They'd be scared of that half there. But Arkansas can score. We'll see. There. Here's the other one is Georgia at home against Ole Miss. That 0.5, that 7.5, that hook there, Georgia favorite against Ole Miss. Your thoughts about this? Probably Ole Miss's really first road game that's going to challenge them. So Ole Miss undefeated.
It's hard to bet against Georgia, I think, especially at home. And the Arkansas thing, Arkansas has hired the Parker Group, who looks for coaches. Along, Rhett Lashley is probably favorite because he's an Arkansas guy and Jerry Jones likes him. And he coaches SMU. It needs to be someone who can go in with his in my opinion, Barry can correct me, with his personality and draw some of the money from the big money that's around Arkansas. A lot of money there with Walmart and so forth. The personality of somebody that can go in and really push for that kind of money and try to get more money for Arkansas than they have had, and maybe make it do a little bit better job in the recruiting part of it. So the kid from kid, but the coach from SMU is the favorite. Cause, of course, when Jerry Jones gets involved, he's kind of a big talker there. So we'll see.
The other games real fast. Florida, they're finally playing a team they're favored against. Got Mississippi State at home. Florida 9.5-point favorite. We'll see if Texas is at Kentucky. Texas, maybe they've turned it around. 12.5-point favorite there. Alabama, that line has gone down continuous during the week. Maybe they don't think Jim Miller's going to play, and that's that big of a deal. Alabama 7.5, a lot of halves this week. And then Auburn is still an underdog at home. Missouri 1.5-point favorite there. So basically that's a pick 'em right there. That's a 6:45 kick. So you got Alabama and Auburn, as you said yesterday, playing at the exact same time. 2-minute truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. 2 men in a truck, movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning, a statewide workforce initiative that will establish a network of learning spaces within the state's most rural counties has been launched. $16 million in new state funding and support from Apple and Alabama Power will establish learning hubs across the Black Belt at libraries, community centers, and schools, according to the Alabama legislature. There are already centers in Hale and Perry counties that teach in-demand digital skills. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama News, Sports, and Weather. I'm Don Hartley.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We have no accidents or incidents this morning. Things seem to be moving around pretty good. Long-term road construction in places may cause you to tap your brakes. Skyland Boulevard between 359 and Buttermilk Road. Also, we do have some road work. One lane is open, US 82, both eastbound and westbound, between
research and care for over 50 years. Learn more about research, education, and support at CrohnsColitisFoundation.org.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
5339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurline B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. And Roll Tide.
Get ready for the NASCAR Cup Series as it returns to Talladega. It's the Yellowwood 500 NASCAR Cup Series. The playoffs are here. Drivers battling it out at nearly 200 miles per hour. It's the most thrilling race of the season, the NASCAR Cup Series Yellowwood 500. Experience the adrenaline.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another warm and dry day today. The sky mostly sunny, the high 85. For tonight, fair with the low at 60. For tomorrow and Saturday, the sky partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs back in the mid-80s between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
pressure treated pine from Great Southern, but it doesn't have the yellow tag on it. You don't want it. All right, the yellow at Hotline. Morning, Philip.
Good morning. Y'all, you're right. The game is on YouTube Live tonight, so it ought to be really interesting. I'm interested in the in several guys on the team. I'm kind of fascinated by this center that we've got from Connecticut, this Collins Anjiaka, if I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but that guy can move, man. He can move with the basketball. He can run. He can catch. He's not just some big guy flying up the middle. That guy's got some agility.
Yeah, I think they picked him up late. Didn't he reclassify? I think he reclassified.
I'm not sure about that part, but they did sign him kind of late last year.
Yeah, they need to
because up front they're gonna need better board play than they have. But unless these guards make every shot they shoot, I think the board factor is a huge factor for Alabama. I haven't seen these guys play up front, so I can't judge them. But I think that's the one concern that I visited with Nate the other day is. Is a concern for him.
Right. I think this Davian Hanna guy is going to be a real. He's going to add a lot of juice to the defense.
Yeah, I think Nate Oates is real high on him. Listed 6'6", but just 180. The other big kid, Aiden Sherrell, who's back. He's not a real quick twitch guy. He kind of rebounds his area. He's not got a guy that's going to go just clean the glass up, but he can step out and shoot the ball. He's a big kid. He's got a good body to bang around the rim. The kid, Noah Williamson, the transfer from the Ivy League, very fundamental, not very athletic, but very fundamental, and he's played a lot of college basketball. So we'll see. He's a 7-footer as well. So they got some big guys to run out there, but none of them are just, those big 7-foot guys are not just extremely athletic. They can do things, but they can hold their own around the goal. And they're going to be guard dominated with Phylon and Millette, and we'll see how those guys do. Obviously, the kid from Auburn that transferred in can shoot it. Aiden Holloway, I think Nate Oates is excited about him.
Right. On the football game this weekend, do y'all sense that the confidence level's pretty darn high right now? I mean, I guess it should be, but I feel like talking to a lot of my friends and the Alabama fans and on the internet, it just seems like the confidence is way up there.
Yeah, I think everybody was worried about the quarterback. Now people think we got the best quarterback in the country who can really pass. They've got some other, freshman receiver that stepped up, Jerry Bernard. So if you'd have told people, Ryan Williams is going to be about your third best receiver at the beginning of the year, then people would have thought, wow, we really got a really good receiving core. I think they do. Jim Miller being out, I worry about the protection of Ty, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm very concerned about this game. I hope it's not a situation where Alabama's having to play catch-up, and that's my big concern is them getting off to a hot start because they know they can move the football. And Alabama's got some injuries that they haven't reared. The injuries haven't really reared its ugly head yet. But it's a tough season. We're getting guys nicked up every week, and everybody else is too. But this is going to be a fight to the finish, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I got something here. Tennessee superstar cornerback Jamed McCoy has been listed as out against Alabama. So they already have a pretty weak defensive backfield there. So I imagine Alabama will try to exploit that. So they got to protect. You got to protect Ty, let him do his thing. You protect him, then he can put the ball where it's supposed to be. Did you agree with – I know he got it. Did you guys agree with them going on that fourth down, that unbelievable pass that that Ty Simpson threw the other day to get the first down? But, I mean, they were going to give that ball up almost at midfield. They didn't get that. What was it? It wasn't short. the fourth. Yeah, and I mean it was an incredible pass, but that was, and it's a great call if you make it. But man, if you don't make it, nobody's talking about that. What a, I guess you'd call it gutsy if you make it, but if you don't make it, I might have called that, made that, called that dumb, to be honest. What'd y'all think about that call?
I didn't understand it.
I didn't either.
I would have to go back and see where we had. I remember I was watching the game with my son and my brother.
It was a one-score game at that point.
It was a one-score game at that point. But I remember my feelings on that at the time. Well, before the play, I said, we got to go for it.
But why?
I believe it was a situation there where, now, I could be wrong. I don't have to go back and look play by play because I'm not, this is an unprompted question you asked. So I think it was based, my feelings were based on where the ball was in relationship to kicking field goal or screwing up.
Oh, no, I'm saying you punt. I don't think we were in field goal range. And so they made it, and it was a tough throw. I mean, it was an incredible throw, but if you don't make that and they go down there and score, and those are the things that, you know, that's the fine line between winning and losing. Like, I think if that guy at Auburn goes over the top and scores that touchdown, I think they win that game, just to be quite honest with you. So the difference between winning and losing, Tennessee misses a field goal against Georgia. You know, Pavia turns the ball over twice in the red zone. Georgia drops a long touchdown. I mean, there's not a big difference between winning and losing in these games. You're not blowing these teams out. And they found a way to win, but that was a gutsy call now. And he said he showed that on Sunday, the play, but then he's right before it, he showed the team that. Then he said, now, defense, what was going to be your mentality if we didn't make this play? We got to rally. We got to rally together and go out there. We got to make a stop for the offense, you know. And so he was kind of talking them through that. If it didn't happen, what would have been your mindset going out there to stop Missouri in a real critical situation? So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, another thing, too, on that play, that catch that Brooks made on that pass was not easy.
No.
I mean, that was a hell of a catch. And he slammed down on the turf. You know, as soon as he caught it, he slammed him down. So I was watching the ball and the ball getting bobbled and all that. That's what I was afraid of. When I saw his helmet go flying off, I thought it was a football for a second there.
Yeah.
But at the time, I remember thinking we had to go for it. It probably had to do with the time of the game, time left in the game and field position and all that was the only reason I felt that way. And then, it worked out good for Alabama, thank goodness.
Yeah, no doubt. Phillip, we appreciate you as always. We'll get to Jack
thank
Crow.
You, sir.
All right, you looking for plans for the weekend? What you going to eat? What you going to tailgate? Let Thomas Rib Shack take all the stress away. You want barbecue ribs, pulled pork, chicken, the fried catfish, the pork chops, all the vegetables there. They got the cobblers. You just give them a call. They'll get everything ready for you to come right there and pick up. You could also order it online. Go to thomasribshack.com or swing by 2931 15th Street and you can give them a call, 205-759-5010, or go to the website thomasribshack.com. When you get in there, tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. We'll get to Jack Crow next. You listen to Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We have no accidents or incidents this morning. Things seem to be moving around pretty good. Long-term road construction in places may cause you to tap your brakes. Skyland Boulevard between 359 and Buttermilk Road. Also, we do have some road work. One lane is open, US 82, both eastbound and westbound between
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the locker room, Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Get right to the Yellowwood hotline. Former head coach at Jackson State looked good last night. Baylor offense coordinator, Auburn, Clemson, been all over college football, and we enjoy having him on. Coach Jack Crow. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Jack. How you doing?
Appreciate you. Appreciate you taking time to be on a late time, but I really appreciate it.
Sure.
One question I have that involves both teams. I have felt like that Alabama needs to really keep the possessions very high for them against Tennessee. It's a possession game to where they keep the football more on offense.
Yeah.
I know your favorite offensive coordinator ran through Tennessee, but I think Tennessee will correct that. So I think it's a possession game for Alabama. And for Auburn, I actually think it might be a quarterback change. You can just talk about those two for me and let Barry say whatever.
Yeah. Well, Alabama, Tennessee, from a possession perspective, you know, there's an algorithm in every sport. There's only so much time, and you know, their average possession is 12 a game. Sometimes it goes up to 16, just sometimes it goes below 12, but it usually levels out. That's the reason a lot of times if you get the ball, you know, what you do in the end of the first half, beginning of the second half, can give you a one possession advantage, and people are really doing a good job of protecting that, just that one extra possession. But there's also within a possession, how many times you snap it, and so a lot of times, you know, now, you know, how long you possess it goes to first downs, managing the game, so to speak, on a, you know, what do you call them, first and 10 to get you? Are you really trying to mix in a high level of big plays? If you're trying to play a possession game, you don't necessarily make as many attempts to, you know, you've got to have so many passes over 16 yards and runs over 12 yards. That's how the NFL measures it, and I think that's how Most people measure it, and you've got to have 6 to 8 of those in a game. Those longer runs or longer passes, but you hope that you get those without having to design plays that could conceivably get you behind a down marker.
Well, Cam being out, I said that too. With Cam may not play foul. Brought that into it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I tell you, there's a way to go. And I really think with this quarterback, you have this option, and that's where you play just that real in place of maybe the runner, you know, that you really need that can get you that solid 4 yards anytime, first or second down. They can always bring your third down to a controllable down. You know, it's the quick game.
Yeah,
and
right,
and you got to have real precision, and you got to believe that there's runs after the catch, you know, there. Well, let me tell you what, number two and number five, they're run after the catch kind of guys. I mean, they are. Williams and what's five's name? I can't remember.
Jeremy Bernard.
But you also got to get the tight end, and that's the thing that I think has been there. But that's the one place that I see in this kid's talent that they really could continue to develop, depending on whether somebody wanted to Because what you're liable to do if the threat of the run isn't there, and who knows how they really see the threat of the run, if they tend to say, hey, we're not going to let these two guys get away from us, and they go to a two-deep shell more. But when you go to a two-deep shell, what you got to do is work the tight end. And I hope people are following me. I don't have a blackboard back here behind me or a whiteboard. That tells you how far I go back. I still say blackboard. There ain't no such thing as a blackboard anymore. But you started on a blackboard too, Barry. Both of y'all did, I know.
Yeah.
And you had chalk all over yourself when, at the end of coaching a little bit. But so, you know, there's options primarily because of the accuracy of the quarterback, which I just find to be acceptable. I'm so proud. You know, his dad, I interviewed his dad like his first year, maybe second year trying. When I first went to Jacksonville State, I interviewed his dad. And I remember sitting there with Jason Simpson, that's his dad's name, thinking, you know, sometimes what y'all do, you know this, when you hire somebody, you got a pecking order. But you probably know who you're going to hire before you ever. Yep. And I interviewed Jason, and I said, "Damn, I might not have. I might should have given this some real consideration because he was impressive. I had Bobo interviewing next, and I hired Mike, and obviously that was a pretty good choice too. But just, you know, the things we're talking about how all this fits together." The most dynamic thing about Jason is he could make this talk. Because, I mean, Ty is, he could make this talk. I mean, that's how advanced this guy is, in my opinion. And his accuracy and understanding with Coach Grubb, I think that's his name, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what you've got to do to maintain possession. What you got to do, you know, against 2-deep, 3-deep, how much do you have to really break it all down with Ty making a run? Because they can go to a design run and get them out of some coverages really quick. I mean, you gotta have somebody with dual responsibility to play against a quarterback that can run the ball. And it's usually somebody at safety that's got to be there somewhere in the fit, because you have to play with 12 defensive responsibilities. There's only 11 players, so somebody's got dual responsibility, and being able to identify them and really manipulate the coverage based on what they've got to do to stop that design run by Ty. I'd like to be playing with a blackboard Grubb's got, or whiteboard he's got. I'd like to be playing because I'd like to see him find a tight end sometimes and a few more cracks. But I have no doubt, just because I hadn't seen it doesn't mean it's not there waiting. I think they can possess the ball. I think they're quickly becoming the most dynamic offense in the country. That doesn't mean they're going to blow everybody. Don't, please, Alabama fans, don't think they're supposed to blow people out and beat the line every time. It ain't what I'm saying. When I say dynamic, is you go to Z, they'll go to X. They're playing checkers, and there's no spot they can't move around and get. That's the impression I'm beginning to get about them.
You know. Mentality is so big. And I mean, really, Auburn's been in every game. And Alabama's games have all been close. You know, if Kirby kicks that field goal down and ties the game, you know, it's tight. Alabama goes for it on 4th and 8 on the 38-yard line in the fourth quarter with a one-score game and gets a 29-yard pass, and they complete it. Is that the difference between these two programs right now? I think this team believes in Ty Simpson. They believe in their coaches, and they believe they're going to win. And I think Auburn's on the other side of that. They don't really believe in this quarterback. They're not sure about Hugh Freeze. and they expect something bad to happen, and it usually does. And was that a good call when it's 4th and 8, Coach? You're on the 38-yard line. It's the 4th quarter, and it's a 1-score game, and you go for it? I mean, everybody's praising now. It was one of the, and it's a 29-yard pass to Brooks. But if you don't make that, you're giving the ball right there to go down and possibly take the lead or tie. I can't remember if it was 3 or 7 at that point. I mean, people talk about that gutsy, but if that pass is incomplete, it goes from being gutsy to dumb, right?
Well, I couldn't say it any better than you just said it, Barry. I'm telling you, that is the very distinctive difference between a lot of teams, but in this state, it is the distinctive difference in this state. Auburn's defense can play against anybody. Alabama's defense can play against anybody. Which one's better? Somewhere along the line, we'll find out. But they're both really, really good. And the difference is whether you would even call that 4th down play. You know, and what, you know, I think I've given you all this litmus test before. Because this is what I see when it's done right. This is what I see at Alabama, opposed to what I see at Auburn. When that game is over with, and I used to do this with my quarterbacks, I'd wait a Monday because he's digesting, I'm digesting. And I ask him, how many times did I surprise you with a call? And I even give parameters for it being a surprise. Well, it surprised him, not really, because. And I'm telling you, I'm looking for none. And that's what I see. You think his heartbeat went up an ounce when they went for it? Not an ounce.
Mm-mm.
Not, and it was like, oh, right, we got them. They ain't having it at Auburn. I think his kid's looking over there. I'm going to say this bluntly. I think he's looking over there saying, which one of you three guys are calling this play? Because I can't keep up with you.
Can't Auburn get the quarterback right? It was bad last 2 years. It's not great now. Is it talent? Is it development? Is it scheme? What is it? Because, I mean, you looked at Peyton Thorne after 1 year. You knew he wasn't good enough, and they bring you back. And then you watch Jackson Arnold last year, and you're like, why is Auburn paying that much for him? Why can't they get it right?
Well, I think there's a lot of difference between the two head coaches. You got a head coach who's an offensive guy at Alabama. He'll talk to Grubb, but he ain't talking to that damn quarterback. Because he knows that there don't need to be but one damn mindset in that quarterback's mind. And that's the one that was put in him. When that game plan started going in the summer, when the game plan started going in, because all of them have roots back to what was done with the system. And there's so much certainty and consistency when you do chain of command. The guy's becoming to show himself as an exceptional coach. Well, what is an exceptional leader? Because the chain of command is strong, and those players trust where their information is coming from. They trust that the head coach is behind everything that's said, but they know that where they're connected. I think the defense at Auburn has gotten to that point. But I've got this. I was an offensive coordinator. I called every play if I wasn't a head coach. I never called a play when I was a head coach. Now, it's a little more tempting. And I can tell you, now, the NFL is a little different. But any head coach that's standing there with a card or with his own list and putting himself in Steve Spurrier mode. Steve Spurrier met with the quarterbacks every day, and they never had information that ever came from anybody but Steve. Now, you got to delegate with a lot of trust. if that's your primary job on Saturday. And that's the way Steve did it. I've not seen anybody since then that could pull that off. Petrino's close, okay? Hugh ain't in that league. I'll just be blunt about it. He ain't in that league. He don't work hard enough long enough to be in that league. Y'all need that one?
Yeah. That's the question I ask. That's what I want you to say.
What does it say? And I hate to keep taking shots about this, but I think it's a bad look when your athletic director is chasing the officials off the field at halftime. He may be on the field because he's going to that room down there where the boosters are going to be. I mean, I can get a 15-yard penalty. I mean, you hired Hugh Freeze to run the team and work the officials. I understand it's the emotion of the game, and you hired him and you wanted to be successful. You're probably getting beat up Monday through Friday, and then this one call there, it was a huge call. Do you ever have an athletic director down there doing that, Coach Crow?
No. I have had one do some meddling. His name was Frank Rolls. I think there's emotional piece of being an athletic director that knows how important the football program is, that you've got to show a lot of restraint. You can't become overly emotional in the coach or over emotional in the game. In fact, my one bad day at Arkansas was Frank. He was over emotional, and I got emotional Terry Don Phillips said when we came out of that room, he said, "Oh my God, I should have known better to get two redheads together after a game like that." Because an emotion from an athletic director can unsettle everything. So it's not a good look, no, because it shows an emotional state that maybe puts him too close to solving the real problem.
Jack, I want to go back to one other thing, which we shouldn't go back to, but I get to ask the questions I want to ask. If there was ever a no call, a call that could go either way, I know all calls could go either way, but am I wrong in saying that was there ever a call that you crossed the goal line, you fumble, when, where, and what? Difficult to make in that particular game that got everybody upset?
Well, I'm sure it's been dissected better than I made my decision sitting there watching it on television. If you don't try to really make the decision with some third party, you try to make it on the field,
yeah,
and just back it up with a third party. I mean, they're going to have to come up with another television view to say that point of that ball wasn't across the, at least the edge of that marker. If I'd have been Hugh at that time and I really knew what it looked like, they'd have to throw my ass out of the game.
Yeah.
And I have got back-to-back 15-yard penalties before when I knew it was ridiculous. And it has an effect. Sometimes it's worth it.
Well, there was somebody was saying that y'all got back-to-back penalties when you were at Auburn or something. Anyway, it was like first and 54, y'all got so many unsportsmanlike penalties. And what did Pat Nye say? Something about you got to play for first and 54? Tell that story.
It was first and go-to-go from the on the other side of the 50. And he walked up. I went out to the middle of the field after he got the first one going, "What the hell are you doing?" The guy in the white hat still hadn't walked over there. By God, he says, "I'm coming to get your ass." And he's going now. I reached to grab him, and he stuck his fist in the middle of my chest, throwing me off. He's a strong dude. And I just said, hey, go for it. And then I get back to the sideline, and he walks over there just as calm as he could be. And he said, okay, we need to get a field goal out of this. And we did. And we won by that field goal. I got the same thing in Fort Worth, Texas. It's funny, you know, what comes back to you when, but they were about to put a Southwest Conference, excuse my French, screwing on us down there. TCU was 5-0, and they had us the way they wanted us, and but they wasn't going to have us like that. So I got 15 in a row. I got 15, went out there and got another one. And it changed the game, I can tell you that. And we won it.
Barry's already mentioned this, but I want to go back to it. Evaluating quarterbacks in the NFL is difficult, and evaluating quarterbacks in college football is somewhat difficult because you're involved with money that you've never seen money before. This kind of money has not been involved before. I've got a friend that's got the money to buy one. He's an Auburn fan, but what could they not find anybody else? Did they feel that this kid had? And the kid's a good kid, I think. That he played with a team that had a bunch of injuries. And he was better than shown. What was the deal there?
I think Nick said it. If you're gonna buy one, you better buy the right one. Didn't he say that on game day? Well, how do you know the right one? Well, I can tell you what, NFL gets it wrong half the time, and they look at these guys with a microscope. You really don't know what you got until the bullets are flying and you've programmed them yourself, and you can see. I really think that the reason you got a Brock Purdy, who was the last player taken in the draft, and if you really go, the best quarterback production wise right now is at Ole Miss. He was at Ferris State last year. Yeah. You know, there are elements to evaluating a quarterback that taking a bunch of 6'4 kids in a 7-on-7 game out to California and calling it the Super 11. That ain't how you do it.
Well, let me ask you this. If you had a son that was a really, really good quarterback and Alabama wanted him and they got the quarterback room they got now, all right, so he's probably going to go there and sit for a couple of years. Is he not better off going to Tulane and starting for 2 years and then transferring up? Where is his development going to be better at? Sitting over here on the bench? Or going somewhere where you can play a year or two, and then move up where you can come in and be the starter. What would you do? Would you have a guy go sit or go play, Coach?
Well, nobody did this better than Saban. He got more 5-stars to come in and sit and wait.
I know.
Anybody I've ever seen, and I sort of captured a little bit. He had some guys on his staff that were actually one of them was a personnel director for him for 2 or 3 years, who played for me and coached for me before Nick got him. And I think Nick always just made everybody that understand the value of that investment. That is an investment. And he also, particularly with the physicalness, you know, just talked about, you know, you only got so many things that you can do with your body. I think it's particularly true of running backs. I mean, but it's true of all of them. You know, that body's only going to take so much. You know, save it for when you're really making the big money. Now, the way it is now, the big money may be to go to Tulane and, you know, play for 2 years and make the money. And, hell, that's more money maybe than they can make in the NFL. That's what's gotten screwy. You know, the rookie contract means you can get played. I mean, you're better off you staying hot in college. So the idea that it's all waiting for you in the NFL is screwed that formula up. So if it's about the money, and sooner or later it is, and as long as you aren't going to do damage to, you know, the development, I'd tell them to go where they could play.
Yeah.
Because there's playing, the experience of playing is just greater than any other kind of development there is. If you can go out there and learn in the stadium with the silk zone, with that competitive challenge from a young age, you may not be completely ready for it, but you're going to be ready for it sooner on the battlefield than you are in the, you know, in the training session.
Yeah.
So I'd say go there. I'd definitely say wherever they can put, give you enough money to make it justifiable and put you on the field. But when, don't go on the field with a bunch of people who can't play well around you.
Yeah.
Because you can get in more bad habits trying to make up for a wide receiver that won't be disciplined coming out of a cut. You get around a bunch of that sloppiness, you'll get sloppy.
I honestly think Alabama, I mean, we hadn't seen much of the backups. I think they got three better quarterbacks than Auburn starter.
I like the kid Thorpe last year. I mean, I like him. Did he have limitations? Yes. This kid's got limitations.
Yeah.
But if they just accepted what the limitations were and only give him what he could do, their ass might be undefeated right now. No. Just give him what he can do.
Before you leave us, most of the time I ask who he thinks the best team in the league. I'm not asked that. I asked that early in the week. I'm tired of asking that. You don't know it. I don't either. Neither one of us know.
Nope.
Evaluate a little bit the second best game for our listeners. Ole Miss at Georgia. The chances there, either team. Both teams pretty well coached.
I think that quarterback, it's going to be a game of which one of those quarterbacks. And I think the one at Ole Miss, the team with the best quarterback is Ole Miss. The only thing about Kirby is be careful what happens at halftime, because the other part of it is
straighten it out.
you just turn it on at halftime if you want to see what Kirby and that bunch represent.
Yeah, they're going to change, aren't they?
That is a think tank of football over there. And I visited one of them this summer, and, I mean, it's like a fraternity the way those guys work.
They coach during the game more than anybody. During the game, don't they?
Yep, and Kirby coaches the play of the players. He doesn't coach the game. He coaches how they play. I don't see enough coaches coaching how they play. I think there's one unique thing over there is he trusts his guys to take care of the game. He's talking to them about the things that are making them productive as players. I mean, they are the best coaching staff in the country, but you don't come up with that combination of coaches very damn often like they got over there. But I'm telling you, they'll have to do something on that Ole Miss quarterback, because I mean, he's probably the best NFL player that's probably been in this league a long time. Well, I say that kid down at LSU, he was damn good. But probably the most dynamic playmaker is that kid at Ole Miss. Now, I don't know how much you looked at him, Wimp, but he's a problem.
Coach, as always, you're the best. We appreciate it.
We appreciate y'all. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Right. Good stuff there. All right. We want to thank Yellowwood. They made this 7 o'clock hour possible. Phone lines will be open in the second hour. I got the North River Lawn Care Weed Eater picks in. Those picks have been about like the Blue Plate special. But if you're looking for somebody to do your lawn, we'll talk about it as well. North River Lawn Care is where you go. All right, Chase, we'll take the top of the hour break. We also have some Kalen DeBoer sound from his show last night out at Baumhauer. This is a Tide 1.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
Here's your next win cash code. 654. That's 654. That code again is 654.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
The Blue Jays bounced back in Game 3 of the ALCS, dominating the Mariners 13-4. Toronto had 18 hits and 5 home runs. One of them came from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Seattle still leads the series 2-1. And Game 4 is on Thursday. First pitch is at 8:30 Eastern Time. It's also Game 3 of the NLCS between the Brewers and the Dodgers. First pitch from Dodger Stadium is at 6 Eastern Time. And it's Thursday Night Football, kicking off Week 7 of the NFL. Bengals and Steelers, but Cincinnati has listed their star pass rusher, Trey Hendrickson, as questionable because of a hip injury. In the NBA, ESPN reports that LeBron James, who's dealing with sciatica, will take a patient approach before his Lakers season debut, with the expectation that he could return early November, but they may push the timeline back if needed. On the ice, the Blackhawks crushed the Blues 8-3, and the Red Wings defeated the Panthers 4-1.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still no accidents or incidents to tell you about. No major slowdowns, but you might want to pump your brakes a little bit because of long-term road construction. Skyland Boulevard between 359 and Buttermilk. Also, we do have long-term road construction 2059 eastbound before Foster's. And there's long-term road construction 20
today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. Thursday morning at 9 a.m., I'll be live at the R&R Cigar Mansion in Tuscaloosa getting ready for the third Saturday in October matchup between Alabama and Tennessee. The coach, Ellis Johnson, will join me, D. Orlando Ledbetter, and Jeff Spiegel. That's Thursday morning live at R&R Cigar Mansion on the Gary Harris Show.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside Locker. Phone lines are open the entire 8 o'clock hour if you guys want to jump in. 205-342-9904. I want to thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. We've talked yesterday with these guys, and they got great inventory out there. The parking lot's paved. They're ready to get you out there and take great care of you. Looking to get some tires that you need to get, this is the month to do it. You can buy three tires, get that fourth tire for a dollar. Also, they got great specials on the Toyota Tacomas. Trucks 1.99% APR for the first 1.99 for the first 36 months, which is a great deal there. You're looking for a vehicle, the Camrys are in. The Camrys are, the 2026s are in. That's 1.99 as well for the first 36 months. You go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. It's all laid out for you. You can look at all the inventory, new, pre-owned, schedule service. You want to rent a Toyota, try it before you buy it. Then go to Tuscaloosa Toyota. Swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get right to the Yellowwood hotline. This guy doesn't call near enough, but he's here today. Bring in Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe. It's Tennessee week, guys. I got to call in, right?
Yes, sir.
We can't afford to lose this game because, to me, Tennessee's the one that knocked us out last year. You know, identical record. No, it wasn't identical record. We had three losses, but still.
Oklahoma locked you out. Oklahoma knocked you out. All the losses, but that was the bad one.
Yeah. But my point is, if we're both 10-2 at the end of the year and they beat us at home, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They can definitely knock us out. And I didn't feel that last week with Missouri, but I feel that, I guess, because of last year. So what are y'all thinking? Y'all thinking we're going to cover, we're going to win? What are y'all – I had got to listen to you guys this week.
Yep.
I think they've got a great chance to win. I think certainly Tennessee's better than they will be, a lot better than they were last week defensively. They did not have as good a game last week defensively, and they're certainly better than that. So I would think it's going to be a tough game, but I think Alabama gets out of the game.
What do you think, Joe?
I think they're probably coming.
What do you think, Joe?
I think this is the most explosive offense we've faced this year. You agree with that?
Yeah, I would say that.
Easily.
Yeah.
How good's Alabama defensively? We just had a coach on here, Mendoza, thought they were pretty good.
I couldn't tell what Wimp said, Barry. I'm sorry.
He said, how good do you think Alabama is defensively?
I think they've improved every week. And last week, on the road, really, yeah. I guess I was, more impressed with last week than any other week.
Yeah, I agree.
It seems like they're not great early, and they get better as the game moves along. Would you agree to that, Joe?
Yeah, I think they're making adjustments because we have had so many, games where the other team didn't score in the second half. Or scored very little, I should say, or nothing. That's true. But I'm just afraid of us getting beat deep this week. It's what I'm worried about more than any game we've played this year so far. And it's going to be interesting, though, because, this guy is this is the only coach in the SEC that has beat Saban and DeBoer. He is the only guy that's done that.
What is it about him? He seems to, of course, they're a field goal away from being undefeated. If they were, it'd be ranked number three. You'd have, oh my goodness.
That's right.
What is it about him that makes, I think their players are confident in him, and he doesn't come across as a great interview. He never shaves. He looks horrible. What is it about him that makes his teams win?
He's a player's coach.
Is he? That's what it is?
He is so laid back. And I tell you something else, DeBoer is the player's coach. These guys, they go in there on Sunday, do a light one, look at some film probably, and they don't even have to practice on Monday. And they're practicing every morning, and they're finished at 11 o'clock or 11:30, whatever. And, it's just like I thought last week a great point was that playing at 11 o'clock shouldn't affect us because we're practicing every morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's no unusual routine. While Saban had them late in the afternoon and kept them till dark. Till late.
Yeah.
And, mentally that is a huge difference.
Well, those guys feel like, of course, Saban's way worked and We'll see if this way is working. But, you know, you're right about that as far as a player. I mean, they got the whole afternoon off. They want to go get a haircut. They want to go hang out with the girlfriend, whatever. They got a lot more time because they get all their work done in the morning. I know they have study hall and class. I don't know if these guys ever go to class anymore, Joe. I think everything's online now. Kids don't go to school anymore. It's unbelievable. I guess if you get out there on campus, you wouldn't see hardly any football players walking around. Because most of the stuff's online now. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good time to be a college athlete at a school like Alabama. You're making money you've never seen before. You're being fed like you've never been fed before. You're in the greatest facilities. All your classes are online. You got tutors for everything. It's pretty nice for those guys out there, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. God. And if there's two schools in the SEC that I think are kicking in big bonuses on the way a guy plays the last week, I think it's Texas and Tennessee. I think the Haslam boys, I think they in that. So it's unreal how deep he is. Because, you know, we already know the contract he gave Watson and the way he's run the Browns. But he's not. Money's not important to him. It's obvious it's not important to him. I mean, when you got more than you spend, I guess it's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, but I just said that was the other thing I was going to add about his coaching ability. I think there's more behind the scenes going on at Tennessee. And it's just like Barnes getting that kid, that number four kid at ESPN this year. It wasn't too late, but he got it. I got to call y'all next week. Boy, I've been watching that TV the last 2 days, and I am full of SEC basketball right now.
Is it going to be deep? Is the league deep this year? Deep.
It can't be as deep as it was last year.
You wouldn't think.
But yeah. But I've got some numbers for you guys that I'll get into next week about all these transfers. I took the top 25. And gosh, there's some wild stuff in there when you really look at it. And some of these coaches have got a job to do. And the first one is right down the road in Auburn, Alabama, where he's got four guys started, probable starters. That's what I'm going by, the ESPN. And he's only got one starter back, and he's the new coach. That guy has got a job to do this year, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, and here lately, you know, which is totally flipped from several years ago, but, you know, football's been bad and basketball's been their saving grace. And so that puts a lot of pressure on him to try to be their saving grace again if football can't turn it around. So,
Yeah. But he has got a job to do. And St. John's is the same way. I think we can beat them early. They've got four transfers starting, so we got a good chance to knock it. Only three teams in the whole top 25 are Houston, Duke, and Arizona that are not going to be starting a transfer on their team at the start of the season. They got either all three of them have two freshmen back and three players. And, you know, Duke, they preached that all through the tournament, how his kids, but he also had the number one player in the country sitting over on his bench, and he don't have that guy this year. So
there you go.
That's going to be interesting. But anyway, I don't mean to get off the footballs. Tennessee week, well, over and under is 59, I think. Is that right, Barry?
Let me look. You put the pressure on me. I didn't look at that yet. I know the line's 7.5 and it went down. Over under is 59.5.
What do you think, Wimp?
I'd say over.
I'd say under.
I'm saying over too, Wimp. I think both these teams, one may score in the 40s, the other be in the 30s. The
problem is now with these overs people are betting. This clock runs so much now. Joe, you look up, you had like two possessions, the quarter's over. So we'll see. Thank you, sir. Don't be a stranger.
Thanks,
all right, we'll get to break here. We got Joel from Norport holding. We'll get to Joel. We got plenty to do. We got some Nick Saban, some Kalen DeBoer sound from last night. We got a vinegar tip. We got a North River Lawn Care. His picks for the week. His picks are ice cold as well. So he claims he's going to turn it around. Jason does this week. We'll see. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTVC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We do have long-term road construction. Skyland Boulevard between 359 and Buttermilk Road, about a three-minute delay. And there is some road work. One lane is open, US 82, both eastbound and westbound. Between
nonprofit offers more than 1,000 free online resources for youth and high school sports coaches, parents, students, and administrators. Visit PCADevZone.org.
Get ready for the NASCAR Cup Series as it returns to Talladega. It's the Yellowwood 500 NASCAR Cup Series. The playoffs are here. Drivers battling it out at nearly 200 miles per hour. It's the most thrilling race of the season, the NASCAR Cup Series Yellowwood 500. Experience the adrenaline.
All of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the North Brook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and is brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Catch it streaming live on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Thursday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Alabama center Parker Brailsford.
At Washington or whatever happened, but I was just trying to see. And then once my name was in the portal, Coastal Board hit me up. Him and the staff here hit me up. So, I decided to make my decision.
Make your decision to Alabama again. So much of it with Kalen DeBoer and then Ryan Grubb, who comes over as well before he went to the Seahawks. But was there anything else about Alabama you liked about this program that made it the right fit for you?
Almost definitely. Alabama's Alabama. The tradition, the legacy here, you know, all those things. I feel like every day you're pushed to be your best every single day. Like, there's no days where you can kind of come in and be halfway. Like, you have to be on your stuff every single day.
I'll have more in a moment.
Hey, Bama fans, each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central, join us live for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. This live streaming talk show features the latest on Alabama athletics with exclusive conversations with Tide student athletes, coaches, and media members giving their perspective on the Crimson Tide. You can watch on YouTube, Facebook, and X, with all conversations archived as well on the Alabama Insider Podcast. Roll Tide with Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR.
Join us tonight for Alabama men's basketball against Florida State in an exhibition in Birmingham, Ballin in Boutwell. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. with our coverage on the network starting at 6 p.m. Central. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another warm and dry day today. The sky mostly sunny, the high 85. For tonight, fair with the low at 60. For tomorrow and Saturday, the sky partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs back in the mid-80s between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry. Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Bruce Pearl already has a new job, guys. He's going to be studio host for TNT Sports for college basketball. He's going to be on their studio crew for the Big East and Big 12 covers, joining Jalen Rose, Jamal Mashburn, Chris Weber, and Adam LaFleur. He also will join with CBS Sports for NCAA basketball coverage. I think that's when Charles and them move over. So he's going to work for TNT. So there you go. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline, we'll get Joel in. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, hey, so, yeah, the last time I called in, I was questioning you guys about Enes Whatley during basketball season. I'm from North Alabama up there where Coach Wimp used to do his coaches' camps with C.M. Newton and stuff. So, but anyway, I don't get a whole lot of research in about the football season until it comes to the Tennessee game usually. So this is kind of just something I was looking at this morning. I was going to see what y'all thought about it, but I was seeing that Tennessee has only faced like one defense in the top 26, and that's Georgia at 26. So with Alabama being, you know, really good in the passing game this year, and that not necessarily being Tennessee's thing, I guess just in a nutshell, how do y'all think that kind of plays out historically as far as like where people are ranked defense and then going into games and what the outcomes of those games might be?
Yeah, Dad, before you do, I think Tennessee's last against the pass in the SEC. So, Dad, your thoughts about where those statistics is at? That's probably a good sign for Alabama, right?
Well, I think, you know, stats don't always tell the truth, but sure. I think you do in this particular case. I think Tennessee has not faced a quarterback the way if the offensive line holds up. Tennessee has not been a real pressure-oriented defensive team as far as getting after the quarterback that much. They don't seem to be quite as good defensively as they have been in the past, but maybe they'll come to life. I think pass defense is going to be big. I think Tennessee's going to throw it a lot. I would just have to lean towards Alabama being at home and the kind of quarterback they have versus the defense that Barry has mentioned that Tennessee has. It should be a good chance for Alabama.
Yeah, Tennessee, they beat Syracuse 45-26, but East Tennessee State 72-17. Lost to Georgia 44-41, beat a bad UAB team 56-24. One on the road in Starkville. That was a tight game, 41-34. And then just one at home against Arkansas, 34-31. So they don't really have – it's not their fault. They don't really have that an impressive win really yet on their resume, unless you want to count Mississippi State on the road as an impressive win. So,
also, the previous caller was talking about the Tennessee coach, and I really hate to give – anybody from Tennessee credit, but to me, when I've watched his games, and I kind of watch them like I do Auburn. I mean, I got three teams every week. It's Alabama, whoever's playing Tennessee, and Auburn.
Yeah,
and it's hard to pick when Tennessee's playing Auburn. So, anyway, the like he kind of gets back, I think, to like pretty conservative, old school when the games matter the most. You know, down at the end, and he might, you know, I think he comes across maybe as, you know, just kind of new school as far as like his passing game, but you know, he'll make old school type decisions to win ball games when they come down to the end. So I don't know. I mean, he's always kind of scared me a little bit in that facet, because if he has a good chance to beat you at the end, then you better play well, or he's going to.
Yeah, you know, we'll talk to a guy named Russell Bivin tomorrow, and he talks about the atmosphere around the program, the coaches, kids are out there at practice. Everybody's around. It's really a family atmosphere. So those guys seem to really enjoy each other. It's almost like this opposite of what you're seeing at Auburn. It's like so negative down there. Right now, Tennessee, I mean, the fact that he turned that thing that fast after what happened with Jeremy Pruitt and all the guys that left and were out of there, he's really done a remarkable job there. And then to have this quarterback situation happen as late as it did and go get Aguilar or whatever from UCLA that was at App State. He's played very well. So, he's made the right moves to keep him relevant for sure.
Yeah. My last comment, then I'll let you guys go. But, Auburn, I tell you, that is probably, I guess, has to come down to my least favorite team. But if you look at, they just like you said, they get so down. Mm-hmm. And, they've been in close games, and they've played three top, defenses as far as if you just look at overall total defense. So, and they've got, one more, coming up, which would be Alabama at the end. But other than that, the defenses that they face the rest of the way probably are not quite as upper echelon as the ones they've already faced.
No doubt. Joel, don't be a stranger. Keep calling us, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, we'll go ahead and take the break here. Let's talk about Bryant Bank. We get back, we'll also have that vinegar tip for this Thursday.
Well, we mention Bryant Bank each and every day because they're an outstanding bank and they're one that you could bank with and know that your banking is going to be with your money is secure. They're going to do everything that's needed to be done to be darn sure that you have your money. And they're going to be able to open up a business or personal account with you, the two accounts, and they'll work with you any way that you need to be worked with. They're interested in the surrounding area, in schools. They're interested in the public that surround their banks, and they're very good. They do a very good job of just interacting with you if you go by to do some business with them. So go by Bryant Bank. Tell me you heard on Inside the Locker Room and open up an account. I think you'd be well placed.
All right. The vinegar tip is next. Also, take your phone calls 205-342-9904. You're just a Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We do have long-term road construction. Skyland Boulevard between 359 and Buttermilk Road, about a three-minute delay. And there is some road work. One lane is open, US 82, both eastbound and westbound. Between Sam...
Gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. It's time for the vinegar tip for this Thursday. Who brings you the vinegar tip? Well, this wouldn't happen if it wasn't for Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Michael is our agent. Let him become yours. 205-752-8500. Give old Michael a call. He'll set you right up. You switch that insurance over, he'll give you some apple cider vinegar. All right, what is the tip for this Thursday?
Well, it's sort of a home tip rather than a personal tip. It's getting close to Thanksgiving. And after that, not so far away will be Christmas. Events that you have during the holidays. And I had a call and a check on what you do with China. The China that you used to sort of show off people what kind of what kind of nice things that you have. The stains that are left by coffee and tea in the cups that are used often and pretty unsightly looking. Sometimes a dishwasher won't even clear them away. So what you do is you mix it equal parts of salt with some salt and white vinegar. And then you scrub away that stain. The salt and the white vinegar will really get the china clean. It'll get those stains off the inside of your cups, basically not much on the outside, but on the inside a lot. Ladies don't like to see that. They don't like the other ladies to see their china looking like that. So if you're going to have a party and you got nice china and you want to show it, you want to show it off a little bit, be darn sure that it's clean. I think that this is a good tip for these ladies who are listening to our show. So get some salt, scrub away with white vinegar, and you will find that those stains are gone.
There you go. Well, ain't a bad little tip there. Clean those coffee cups up. You look in there in the bottom of them sometimes. Those things look terrible. So there you go. Just pour that vinegar in there and scrub away, and they'll be looking like the chrome on your truck, shining. You could brush your teeth. You could fix your hair, Chase, if you put a little vinegar on that chrome on that truck you got. That's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline. We'll bring Tom in. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom. Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach. How are y'all?
We're all right. How are you, buddy?
Okay. I'm good. Thanks for asking. So the connection for basketball tonight, Alabama basketball, is Divot on YouTube, right?
YouTube TV, yeah. Not YouTube, I guess YouTube.
Oh,
just YouTube.
Regular YouTube. Then.
Yeah, okay.
And Michael sent out a message after I heard you say that. I said, well, send me the connection, and it was Divot. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the basketball exhibition. And is this the only exhibition game we got? Or we got another one next week?
No, they got another one. Don't give me the line. I'm going to have to look here and tell you who it's against. But they play two.
A lot of times we have one on Friday night of a home game, you know, and they kind of like get the football crowd involved in it and all like that. Or it used to be that way. I don't know if they do that anymore or not. I can't remember.
I don't know if that's exhibition. The next game, yeah. Furman on the 26th. I guess that's exhibition.
That would, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? I think we're going to be pretty good. My anticipation is that we're going to be pretty good. What do you think? You went to see them practice.
I think they're going to be good. They've lose so many guys, but they seem to replace them. And they don't, you know, most people that lose as many guys as they lose, you think would take a dip. They may take a little bit of a dip, but I think they should be good. That schedule, though, that non-conference schedule, Tom, oof, that thing's brutal.
Did you hear him talking about scheduling at Media Days? Did you listen to that?
I listened to some of it, not all of it yet.
Well, you know, Coach Sanderson, back in the day when he set his schedule, you know, we were looking with the SEC being as hard as it was, and now the SEC is back to being almost as hard as it was when Coach Sanderson was coaching. But, you know, we all we live for that magical number of 20 wins because that was the formula for getting in. I know I've said this a whole bunch of times, but that was the formula for getting into the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah.
But now Coach O said something I thought was interesting. He even brought up, he said, you know, what good is it to get the 20 wins if you don't know what your team is about? And I thought, well, you know what? You ain't been down the road we've been down. Because when you play in that SEC, if you have a winning record coming out of the SEC, I believe now you're in the tournament, don't you?
The schedule is the schedule is a little different. Tom, when I had it, we played everybody twice. We went to Kentucky, right. And now you only play three teams twice. And so right. I think Alabama's schedule, and I'm not trying to, is very, very favorable for them. They don't have to go to Arkansas. They have Tennessee home and home. But I think in studying their schedule, the top four teams is selected by the media, which doesn't mean anything. It's Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama. And so those are said to be the best. But anyway, it's a little bit different in that we had to go everywhere in the league. This day and time, you only play three teams twice out of the 16 that you play. And then you play your ones on the road and then your ones at home. So it's a little bit different. But back then it was tough, and it's still tough today, no doubt about it. I'm not trying to compare the toughness, but it's not easy.
I don't think, Tom, you want to play the easy teams, because they look at it. If you beat a bad, I don't know, a team with a losing record, they look at, you know, quality wins. So the more opportunities you have to get, if you get quality wins over there and you win like 18 games, but you got a bunch of resume wins, you're going to the tournament. And if you have a great year, going to be like a two seed. Then you're going to be a two seed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And but I will say this though. You know, if you beat a weak opponent in the preseason for argumentative purposes, but if you beat a weak team in a preseason, that really don't do anything for you. It's not as good as a good loss. Say you play Villanova and lost to them in the preseason. That would be better than a weak win, I call it.
Yes.
Well, the problem for both of you is that you don't know who's good and who's bad as much because the transfer rule.
Well,
and the transfer rule changes the abilities of those. Excuse me.
I want to bring this up. That's something you brought up. Playing each team twice back in the day, to me, is much harder. You know what I mean? When you have to go to their place, they come to your place. That was a hard schedule in the SEC to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that's why. and you know, when you won on the road in the SEC back then, that's freaking high quality, the way I looked at it.
Yeah. And I think Coach said it. He'd rather, I mean, he just likes playing these big games, and it's helped their recruiting. And but it's different than it obviously used to be. But his system is working for him. So that's the way they do it. So
well, I mean, I can understand. You take Coach Crow when he come on, and now all of these coaches, these algorithms, you know what I'm saying, analytics, and all this is in play. And obviously, Coach O's being a math teacher and numbers and all like that are a really big deal to him. Sits down with his staff and they look at these things and it helps them chart a path to the NCAA tournament. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody, even Coach Crow, you know, it's been years since he coached, but he understands the algorithm of a football. So you know what? I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, those analytics. I think talk about that guy at Florida. He brought that to Auburn several years ago, and I know they does those guys do it. I'm not smart enough to figure all that out, so I wish I could learn more about it.
I mean, it's kind of fun, you know. Well, how we do it, we get bits and pieces. We don't get a full class of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we get bits and pieces, and we put together over a period of time. But it's still interesting to me that plays such a vital part of sports now, you know. And you fool around with these like ChatGPT and other things, and you can see the value of some of this stuff. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off on all that crap, but enjoy the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Don.
All right, Chase, I guess we may just double these breaks on the back end. All right, let's get back to the Yellowwood hotline and get Cowboy in. Good morning, Cowboy.
How you doing? I don't know how to follow that call. Oh, Lord. Well, I was going to ask your dad, with vinegar, you know, back when I was growing up a kid, if your mother caught you saying a bad word, you got your mouth washed out with a soap bar. So I guess now could you use vinegar as a deterrent for saying bad words, you know, just a mouthwash with vinegar.
You can drink some vinegar. You don't have to wash it out with vinegar. Vinegar's not that bad.
There you go. I got some cleaning I need to do next couple weeks. I'm going to use some vinegar, that's for sure. Barry, I heard Bucky early this morning on the SEC Network speaking. I got fired up into him. He's been successful. I was so surprised that Sankey introduced him as the, Mountain Brook High School coach, went to, Sanford, three-time coach.
You didn't hear him introduce Nate Oates? He talked about his time in high school and selling Cheetos and all that to make money for the program. And so he's trying to put a little spin on each guy he introduces.
Oh, he's got it all written out before he gets up there, Barry.
Yeah, or a teleprompter. But what I was thinking was, he's kind of, his background is what it is, and I'm happy for him. But, in a way, it's kind of making him, surprised they dug so much into the high school aspects of it,
That wasn't any big deal. That wasn't a problem.
Yeah. He talked about how he dribbled his basketball at the elementary school right down the road there in front of where the Grand Bohemian is. That used to be what they called Park Lane Apartments right there. But, I'm kind of excited for him. Who's some of the players he got to come to A&M, Barry?
Shoot. He got Ryland Griffin. I know that was at Kansas, that was from Alabama. Other than that, he got a transfer from Oklahoma. I think a big kid that was very good, but I don't know. I'd be lying if I told you I knew. I know he got those two.
Do you think that kid that played at Mountain Brook that went to Creighton, could he be a candidate for him in a year or so, maybe, as a transfer guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Creighton system kind of fits that kid. Ty Davis is who you're talking about. I guess he could. But Ty seems to really enjoy it at Creighton, and he's playing for one of the best offensive coaches in college basketball.
Do you think Bucky, if he did well at A&M, would make a home there, or do you think maybe he might drift around, maybe migrate back to the South one day, or who knows?
I don't know, Dad. You think the thoughts about Bucky if he's – A&M's got everything need, so I don't know why you'd leave there.
No, I think A&M's the South and North, too. I think A&M's a great place. Barry can take more than I can. So I would say once you get to A&M and you're successful, you're going to like it.
Unless he goes up there, Cowboy, and he – does great, and let's say Nate Oates goes to the NBA and he's winning huge out there, and Alabama goes and gets him and brings him back, would be a scenario like that. I guess I could see if all that happened, but that's a lot to happen.
Yeah, you nailed it on the head, what I was thinking, Barry.
Is that where you were going?
Well, I didn't want to say it.
Nate Oates decides his girls graduate and they out, and he wants to try the pros or something like that. And I think Nate Oates will eventually try the pros is my guess. No. So,
yeah. I think Auburn would be in play for him.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, if little Stephen Pearl doesn't get it done. So supposedly, according to Fran Fraschilla, Oklahoma State was at without three starters last night as well, and they beat Auburn by two in overtime. So,
I like old Fran. Yeah. Well, y'all like him, Fran?
Yeah, I like Fran.
He's funny. So, I met him out here in Dallas. He's funny.
Yeah. All right, Cowboy, we got to get out of here. Gary, right. Be mad at me.
Be good, guys.
All right. Sorry, the North River Lawn Care, he and I are having a discussion here. First of all, if you want, more importantly, if you want your lawn done, you want that mulch and all that taken care of. He'll give you 20% off if you tell him you heard it on Inside the Locker Room. He does Dad and I stuff. He does absolutely great. So give Jason a call. It's 205-535-5290. His picks for this week, Chase, he sent me earlier in the week that he wanted to take Memphis against UAB. The line at that point was 20.5. It's gone up to 22, but I'll give him the 20.5 there. So he says take Memphis, but you're going to have to take it at 22.5, but he has 20.5. And then he also says take Ohio State at Wisconsin. That line went way up too, but he just picked that today, so he's getting this line. That's 25.5. So these are big lines he's taking. -25.5 versus Ohio State versus Wisconsin, and -20.5 Memphis at UAB. UAB with a new coach, Coach Mortensen, on the interim basis. That's it for today's show. Tomorrow, Russell Bivin. We'll have Sonny. We'll have a great show for you to wrap up the week. And my man, David Kindred, as well. You listen to Tide 100.9. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.